Blog Talk Radio.
Scapegoats.
and the world in general has become, it would seem, has become very self-centered. You know, everything about me, 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 me. But, you know, in previous lessons, you know, I've taught that the bottom line in the scriptures is the Most High wants us to look out for each other's welfare. If I look out for yours and you look out for mine, then, you know, we won't be trying to get over on each other. If I look out for your well-being and for your wealth, then, you know, it won't be about me. It'll be about you, and vice versa. So I wanted to do this because, as I said, the Most High just put it on my heart to do it. So we want to first welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be, in North America or South America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, and any of the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Say that, you know, it's been a busy day for me. I have been working on the website, mainly the micro green one. I actually need to do some work on Yah's Global Kingdom. But, you know, the micro green business and the farming and that kind of stuff has been up front for the most part, still trying to make that move and, you know, do the things so we can make that move. And so we are concentrating on, you know, bringing it up to par so that we can maximize what we're doing. I want to thank the brother, Edward Young, for dropping in last week. I had intended to call him this week, get his number and call him, you know, for sharing his thoughts on the lesson and for visiting, you know, and for visiting with us. I'm not used to people leaving comments in the chat room, you know, when they come in. So when I'm teaching, I'm focused. And I had, you know, have the alarm turned off so that when people text, I don't hear it. So it doesn't break my train of thought in what I'm doing. Maybe I need to change that so that I can acknowledge people when they do come in that way. We want to, you know, send out prayers to everybody who is in Israel and who is in Lebanon, or not in Lebanon, in Palestine. You know, that whole thing, the more I thought about it and you know, gave it my attention, you know, the more it is just tragic. That people would be fighting over a land that, you know, when you think about it, neither one of them actually really owns. It belongs to the Most High, but that they would, you know, kill each other over it. And so, you know, it is just a sad thing. And so I send out prayers to them, all of those people who have lost loved ones, who are being oppressed, who are being held captive, whatever, you know, the situation is. We pray that, first, that the will of the Most High be done, and that, you know, some solace be brought to those families who have lost loved ones, no matter what side they're on. It is just a sign of the times. And, you know, so I don't want to wish death or hurt or pain on anyone. It's not what the Most High calls us to do. You know, he will take care of all that, and that's, you know, really what I'm firmly trying to sit and reside at, that, you know, it's him that will, if anybody's doing any wrong, he will, because vengeance is his. And so that's where I want to put it at. I want to pray for all the youth out there, all our young people, because these are hellacious times. You know, things that you know, I don't think I had to deal with as a youth in the level and the upfront in my face type of things that they're having to deal with, whether it's on the internet or whether it's on the TV screen, whether it's in the public. And they got all kind of pressures on them, and you know, they really do need our prayers. And I pray that the Most High would bring them out of this worldly system, that they would see it and that they would desire to come out of it. Because it seems like that is not for the most part, it is not the case. They seem to be running into it headlong, desiring the things of the world, desiring the, you know, what the world says is good or popular or faddish, whatever the case may be. That's what they're running toward and not toward the Most High. And so my prayers go out to our young people and to anybody who is actually going through anything in their life, my prayers go out to you that the Most High will answer your prayers and that he will give you peace of mind and heart, or that he will give you what it is that your heart desires, as long as it's within his will. Because, you know, we think that we pray to move the Most High to our position, but that's not really what prayer is for. Prayer is to move us to his position. What is his will for our life? What does he want in a given situation? And so it's not to move him to our position, but to move us to his. And when we understand that, then I think our prayer life becomes more effective, because at least we know how to pray and why we're praying. That being said, we're going to go ahead. I want to ask the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads and turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. We give you honor, you and give you glory and honor and praise on today, Father. And we bow down and we worship you and honor you in this your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people would keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us, all that you do, how you allow us to provide and how you make ways for us and how you deliver us. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you on today, Father, and give you all the glory and all the honor and praise. And not another shall we bow down to and give our adoration to, but to you and to you alone, Yah Elohim, to you and to you alone. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for you, a love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar. And let me do that. The sounding of the shofar.
The earth.
Yah, reveal yourself to
refuge in my times of trouble. You are the King, there's no other besides you. You are my Redeemer from the ones I was sold to. And I am so grateful that we're the apple of your eye. And you are my rock, you are my fortress, you are my strength, and you are my deliverer. So how long shall we bear this oppression? I call on your name right now.
Yeah, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself to me.
Show me the way I'm supposed to
be. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Oh, oh, oh. Yah, reveal yourself to me. Yah, reveal yourself.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28, our scriptures for this Sabbath, and then we'll get into this precept. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, let's start with this precept. And again, this, you know, the Most High put it on my heart because of all the things that are going on in the world, and people just don't seem to be able to just get along. You know, not that we're supposed to, you know, try to get along with evil, but there are a lot of people not trying to do evil, just trying to make it in the world. And so the Most High has always wanted Israel, when they were in Egypt, to get along, when they came out of Egypt, to get along, and to remember, you know, to not oppress the stranger, because we were once strangers in a strange land. And so let's start this off with Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Because the Most High is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And he says he doesn't change. His ways, he does not change. So Leviticus chapter 19. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yah. You know, let me make sure that this is the KJV reading of this. I didn't get an NIV version. Just a second. Let me bring up my Bible here. So, you know, in that verse, saying your own people, you're not supposed to, you know, take vengeance. You're not supposed to bear a grudge. But people do it all the time. You know, they have grudges against their neighbor. They have grudges against family. They have grudges against their own brothers and sisters. And the Most High said, we're not to do that. We're not to hold a grudge. We're not to take vengeance on the children of our own people. And so in this case, your neighbor would be your family. It would be the person next door who is like you. But, you know, it's also going to apply to the strangers that are in your life. The Most High doesn't want us to hold grudges or to vex them. You know, and sometimes I guess that can be hard to do because of the way that the world is. But, you know, we're not accountable to the world, and we're not supposed to take into account what the world is doing because we're not supposed to be in the world. Oh, sorry, I missaid that. We're not supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be in the world but not of it. Okay, so we're not supposed to be doing the things and be worried about the things of the world. And we're not supposed to behave like the world. So let me check this verse one time here. Make sure that it's reading the same way. Yeah, it's saying that thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Yah. So it's a statute. Okay? It's a statue of how he wants us to treat each other. Verse 19, you shall keep my statutes. And he starts listening now. Before that, he says, you know, I want you to not take vengeance, not avenge, not hold a grudge against the children of your own people. Okay. Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. The book of Exodus, chapter 22. And let's get verse 21. Do not oppress. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, nor oppress him. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now the stranger is anybody who's in the land that actually is not really obeying the Most High. They don't know to obey him, and they're the stranger, and they may be living among you. They may be visiting. He says, don't vex them. Don't take advantage of them. Don't oppress them. Don't rob them. Don't steal from them because they don't look like you. They're not from your hood. Just don't do that, because we were strangers. We were in that position at one time as a people. We find ourselves in a land where we still may be considered to be strangers, you know, because every land that we're in, we're looked down upon. But the truth of the matter is, we cannot do to them what they do to us. We have to obey our Elohim. So think about that, because he's saying, hey, if they do something to you, then call out to me, and I'll take care of it. You know, but we'll tend to want to take matters into our own hands, okay? So we're not to vex or mistreat the stranger, nor are we to oppress them, because they don't look like us. Okay, you want to treat them as you would have them to treat you. If you go, you know, I felt like a stranger when I went to New York City. Okay, and because New York City was that strange to me, I hadn't lived in a huge city. And Phoenix is not small, but it's not like New York. It don't compare. And it's not like Houston. And I hadn't been home to Houston in so long. But when I got to New York, I really felt like a stranger. And I thank the Most High for my landlord up there, my friend. We lived together, but this brother treated me like family. You know, he even rode the bus with me to show me how the bus system worked in the train and how you read the stops and those types of things. Because it's very easy to get confused if you don't know what you're doing. You could end up outside of New York, not even knowing that you were going outside of New York, okay? And so he didn't treat me like a stranger, and he didn't treat me like a foreigner. And I thank Yah for him because, you know, he could say, hey, you here, you're on your own. You're a grown man. You know, when the average, what I found is the average New Yorker is very distant. They don't want to be bothered. The average New Yorker don't want to be bothered, don't want to, be fooled with, and they will not speak to you. You know, that you be walking down the street, you see somebody, you say hi, keep walking like you ain't said nothing. I don't care what color you are. Now, you meet them in a store. You're in a store and you speak, they will speak to you. Like you say, just say you're in a restaurant or you're in some store. They'll speak to you, but as soon as you step out on that street, they're not speaking no more. And I just found it strange, okay? And so, you know, it really reminded me of, there's a lot of foreigners there. There's a lot of strangers there. And the people really don't like, you know, hey, just out of my face. Not very, you know, friendly at all. Okay. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Most I says, don't treat people that way because you were a stranger at one time, and he don't want us, you know, and we were treated bad. And, you know, and if we really go back to that, in Egypt, if you look at that, in Egypt, when Joseph was alive, when Jacob was alive, when Joseph was alive, the children of Israel were treated well in Egypt. They, you know, Pharaoh gave them the best of the best land. They had the best of the best in Egypt, okay? And it's not until Joseph and that whole generation passed away that there came a new king, a pharaoh, but he was an Assyrian, and he started mistreating the children of Israel because he wanted them to build cities for him. And, you know, you think you got favor. You are the royal herdsman. You're not taking care of my herds. You're going to go and you're going to build cities. And so he oppressed and mistreated the children of Israel. Okay. But before then, they had it well. Okay, so let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. And let's get verses 3 and 34. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land. Now this stranger sojourning, that means they have moved there, okay? And they're not just passing through, they're not just visiting, but they have moved there, and it could be for a time, okay? If they sojourn, if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex them. Now, you go to most foreign countries, most people are cordial. If they realize that you're a foreigner, and if they realize that you're trying to speak their language, And they'll be cordial with you. And they will, you know, try to help you out. But then you can go in, you know, the wrong part of town and you're in trouble. Because they're looking for you to be a stranger. They're looking for you not to know what you're doing. So then they can take, what, advantage of you. What was I looking at? I was looking at a special on, it was one of the countries in Europe. It might have been, you know, formerly owned by Russia. And it might even be Croatia. But if you went there, you know, everybody's crooked. Everybody was crooked. And, you know, you get a taxi, well, almost everybody, most people were crooked. You get a taxi, you might pay 10 times what you were supposed to pay. Or they might take you to some place that you didn't want to go and then charge you for it. You know, just all kind of things like that. But the Most High says if there's a stranger among you, somebody who's sojourning or somebody who's visiting or has moved there, don't vex them. Don't treat them bad. Okay? Let's get a... You shall not vex them. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Now, this is somebody who has moved there. Okay, let's say if it was Israel, and they have agreed to, they want to follow the Most High. They want to come close. Okay. Then when they want to come close, then they have agreed to live by the law, to become what we call a proselyte. And he says that they shall be as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as, you know, just like you love your own people. I want you to bring them in and love them the same way, because they are wanting to be one with you and part with you. Okay, so you are to treat them as yourself, but they also are subject to the law just like you are. For you were strangers in a land. I am Yah your Elohim. So, you know, typically these next verses, starting in verse 35, people usually do to strangers because they don't know, or if they just straight up crooked, they'll do it to you too. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. In judgment, you know, somebody comes to you and they want something, and what you're on your mind is, how can I get over? You know, how can I take advantage of this situation? He says, so don't do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter, how you measure things, how you weigh things. He said, don't be unfair. Don't charge, you know, a unfair price. Charge the same price to everybody. If that's what you, you know, if it's your price to your friend, give it to everybody. Just balances. Don't be having balances that, you know, are unequal. Don't be playing favoritism. Just wait. Don't be having something that says that it's 1 pound as a weight, but really it's a half a pound, and you're going to charge them for 1 pound. Ephah, which is money. A just hine. I think a hine was a measurement for, you know, they used to measure out liquids. Shall you have, I am Yah your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe all my statutes and my judgments. As I said before, Israel will say, we will see, keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments. And some will even dare to say the ordinance. But you will not hear them say that, my judgments. And so when we are dealing with people, we have to come from the Spirit of the Most High, and we also have to deal with his judgments. How he deals. and do them. I am Yah. So one of the issues that we have with each other is, you know, we don't want to have a fair judgment. If it's family, we want to be one way. If it's a friend, we want to be one way. If it's an enemy, we want to be another way. And the Most High says, don't judge things like that. Don't deal with people that way. Even if it's your enemy, you don't deal with them that way. You deal with them by His judgment and what He says. Then you can't go wrong. You take yourself out of the picture, out of the loop, out of the process. Just a second. I'm sorry, just a second. All right. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 10. And let's get verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 18 and 19. In the word of the Most High reads, execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The Most High is really telling us that we should identify with the strangers because we had that experience, our forefathers. And so, you know, again, if you've ever been in a strange land, you don't speak their language, you don't understand their customs and things like that, then you really appreciate when somebody will go out of their way to help you in that situation. Let's get verse 17. No, let's start in verse 16. Okay. Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, we're going to get verses 16 and 17 to go along with this. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Because the Most High, you know, wants us to follow Him, and He wants us to shed all these things that we came up with. You know, especially today, we're growing up not in our own land, and we're growing up in the land of our captivity, even though we don't feel like we're in captivity, but we are. And we're not in our own land because the land is not run by His laws, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments. So we're not in our land. Okay, and so He says, but I don't want you to be stiff-necked. And I want you to let go of all that stuff that you've been holding on to, that you grew up with, that you've been exposed to, that has hardened your heart. And especially toward Him and His laws, His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments. That's got to go first. And then, you know, the stuff with family and friends and those types of things. Let that stuff go and just focus on the kingdom. For Yah, your Elohim, is Elohim of Elohim and master of masters, a great Elohim, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons. He don't regard persons, and He don't want us to regard persons. Don't have respect of somebody else over someone else in a situation. The facts are the facts, and we're supposed to judge based upon the facts, not based upon the relationship. Because a lot of times that's what we will do. We will judge based upon the relationship we have with someone. You know, so if somebody does something that requires a certain penalty, Most I said, he's not a respecter of person. I don't care who you are, man or woman, my prophet or my enemy, if you do this, and if you don't come correct, then I'm going to judge you a certain way. And I'm going to use the same standard. That's what he's saying. Nor take of the reward. So you can't, you know, he's not a respecter of persons, nor does he take reward. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless. The fatherless, you know, they don't have somebody to look out for them. The widow, likewise, doesn't have anybody to look out for her, even though today, you know, we got a lot of single women out there that are doing it, you know, and they're making it. But the truth of the matter is, according to the Most High, they're supposed to have a head. And they're supposed to have somebody that watches out for them and be able to do things for them that, as a woman, they wouldn't be able to do for themselves. Like, you know, as a woman, somebody break into your house, you know, you would hope that you would have a strong man there to confront them. You wouldn't want to be the first one to confront them. Okay? But then, if you are in that situation, you got to do what you got to do. But the Most High is saying, I look out for the fatherless, and I look out for the widows, because, you know, if you truly are a widow and family doesn't take care of you, you know, your sons or your daughters, nieces or nephews, nobody comes to your rescue, then it's, you know, for anybody, it's hard. It's hard doing things by yourself, especially in the world today, but it's always been that way. It's always been that way. And so for the widow, there are just things that, situations that can come up. And the Most High says, I look out for the widow. And I look out for the fatherless. And he says, I love the stranger in giving him food and clothing. So he wants us to put yourself in the position of somebody that's fatherless. And you're a child. Or motherless. Because today you got single fathers, okay, single mothers. If they're truly out there trying to make it, it can be rough. Trying to earn a living, trying to put food on the table, trying to pay the bills, trying to take care of the kids. Something come up, God, you know, y'all forbid, they get sick. And then they have no one to count on. So y'all says, I look out for them. And I look out for those children. I look out for the widow. The true widow, because the Bible defines what a true widow is. And so it's not that she has, that her husband has just died, but she also has to be in the Word and following him. Then the church is obligated by Scripture to look out for her if she don't have anybody else and she's doing what she's supposed to do. You know, and so, you know, and I would, you know, challenge each and every one of you to look at those scriptures concerning that. Okay. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. He keeps coming back to this because he wants us to understand you were once in this situation, so you, this right here, you should be able to understand. Now, we today, that might be a harder thing, but we are to take the scriptures as our standard, as our example, and then you have to really be able to empathize. Not sympathize, but empathize. Put yourself in those shoes and say, hey, if I was a stranger here and as bad as we're treated, we still, you know, we're growing up in a system that we are just used to. You know, we learn how to navigate it, you know, no matter how fair or unfair it is. We learn how to navigate it. But it's different when you come someplace and you've not been there before. Or, in this case, the Most High is saying, hey, if they're treating you like a stranger, even though you're living there, you know, the system is designed to work against you. It's designed to take advantage of you. And so, and by that token, we can still say that we're strangers in this land because it definitely is not for certain people, this land, okay? Let's keep moving. Deuteronomy chapter 27. So the most I started this off by telling us that we're to love our own people. Don't vex, don't hold a grudge against, you know, your own people, the children of your own people. And then he goes into it about the stranger. Because, you know, I don't know if I got these verses or not for the New Testament, but I'm going to talk to it. Maybe I'll look them up in a second, but I'm going to talk to it. Because, you know, Messiah always said, what is it? What do you gain? What good are you doing if you always do good to somebody you know? What good are you doing? You know, everybody does that. I want you to go above that. I want you to go above and beyond that. Be good to somebody you don't know, to somebody you don't love. This is what he's looking for. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. Be he that perverted the judgment of a stranger. Now, I've been talking about this the whole time because people, you know, you're a foreigner, you're not from the neighborhood. In these days and times, somebody just don't know you. You ain't got to be a foreigner. You're just a stranger to them. He says, cursed be he that perverted the judgment of a stranger, the fatherless and the widow. So if they're a stranger, he wants you to put yourself in their shoes. How would you want somebody to treat you? If somebody's fatherless, he wants you to put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel if you were fatherless or you were motherless and you were going without, you were struggling? Put yourself in the shoes of the widow. She was somebody who's been married most of their life, has had a partner that worked with them, and then now that partner's gone. I knew a lot of women who their husbands paid the bill and did all that stuff, and then when their husband died, they didn't know how to do anything. They were lost, and that by the same token today, find men in the same situation where their wife was doing everything. And now their wife is gone, has passed on, and they don't know how to pay the bills. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to take care of themselves. Now, you know, I think the Bible really mentions widows because a man in that situation, he gonna go find somebody. He'll go find a woman that's going to be able to do those things for him. Most men will, okay? But then our society, if it's a woman, then it's usually a different situation. And so maybe they don't want to go and get remarried. You know, maybe they are, you know, they know how to cook and clean for themselves, and they don't want to be bothered, whatever the case may be. Or our bodies and everything change over time. And maybe they don't feel like they can get somebody else or nobody will be attracted or whatever the case may be. But if they are not about the world and they are about doing the will of the Most High, then they probably don't have time for that, or the Most, it just hasn't happened. But the Most High says he looks after the widows. And all the people shall say, amen. Because the Most High said, put yourself in their shoes. You know how many people have a problem just going to get groceries? And, you know, the older we get, we don't get around the same way we used to when we were younger. It ain't that easy just to get up and just go. Whether you want to or you don't feel like it, whether you sleep. You know, if you're sickly and you can't go and nobody thinks about you, how lonely must that be? How I'm looking for the right word here. But, you know, if you put yourself in their shoes and you got to depend upon people to take you places and nobody will come and take you. You got to depend on people to do things for you because you can't really do it yourself and nobody will do it for you. Most of us says, I don't want that happening. I don't want that happening. So it says, I want you to look out for the stranger, but I want you to look out for the fatherless. I want you to look out for the widow, especially those that are your neighbors. Today, you know, I'm guilty of this myself. I don't even know most of my neighbors. If I see them, I'll wave to them and stuff. But to know them and know what's going on with them, I don't know them like that. They don't know me like that. We don't associate together like that. But there could be one of them or two of them that, you know, they are in dire need. They are, their spouse died or whatever, and they are struggling, maybe not even financially, but struggling because, you know, the spouse used to do everything. Or they are sickly in their body and the children don't come and take care of them. The children today are something else. They definitely only think about self for the vast majority of them. Can't say all, can't talk in absolutes, but that seems to be the trend. They think about themselves and only what they want and could care less what's going on with their parents. So the Most High says, you know, think about put yourself in somebody else's shoes. If you were in that situation, how would you want people to think about you? How would you want them to treat you? Okay. So he says, cursed is anyone that perverts the judgment of the stranger. Because, you know, they don't know any better, or they don't live there, or you know that they're in a situation you want to get over. What can I get out of this? Oh, I'll help you, but what's in it for me? Or you need a ride across town? You ain't really doing nothing, but no, you got to pay me for the gas. They might or might not be able to do that. And then if they can't pay, then we're not going to help. Most of us says, no, that's not how I want you to be. If you can help, help. And don't look for a reward, because he says, if you help my people, if you help the stranger, if you come out of your own pocket, he says, I will repay you. I need to get that verse. I will repay you. Don't look for it from them. I will repay you. I'll make sure that you get it back. More than what you gave. See, if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you love the stranger as yourself, put yourself in their shoes and say, how would I want somebody to treat me in this same situation? Empathy. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Look at this from the New Testament, from Messiah's viewpoint. Luke chapter 10. And let's get verses 27. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? How are you reading the law? What do you understand about the law and what it requires? This is a lawyer, so he should know about the law. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy Elohim with all thy heart. Or thou shalt love Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Now, here's the thing. If you love the Most High with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, then you are doing what he asked. I want your all. That means that you are really consumed in doing what the Most High said to do. And how to be. And thy neighbor as thyself. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So if you don't want nobody robbing you, don't rob them. If you don't want nobody disrespecting you, don't disrespect them. This is what he's saying there. Okay? And again, it's easy to focus on self, what we're going through. But then if you empathize, put yourself in someone else's shoes, say, well, hey, they put themselves in that situation. In a lot of cases, that's true. And in most cases, that's true. And so then you have to learn how to, what, discern. Because sometimes you can't help somebody until they're ready to be helped. Like you can't help the active drug addict. Because no matter what you do for them, everything you do for them, it's about getting high. It's about how to get that drug. You give them the money for whatever the reason. You need some new shoes. You need a car, you need a house, you need whatever, you need a meal. If they're actively using, they're going to use it to do the drugs. And then they need a different type of love and a different type of help. Because you can say, well, I'm going to be loving and kind, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for them, I'm going to do that. But what you're really doing is enabling them to be what they are. You're enabling them to do evil. And we're not to do that. So you have to put yourself and say, okay, if they are this way, they're strung out, nobody wants to see their baby, you know, hurting or anything like that. But sometimes we have to say, you know what, how did you get in this situation? Did you put yourself in this situation or were you put in this situation? There's a difference. Somebody who is sick because they had a heart attack or their sugar went up too high or, you know, whatever like that, and they're not able to work or they're not able to help themselves, they're down. That, you know, all their life they've been working, but now old age or something like that has taken over and they find themselves not able to do what they did when they were younger, and they need help. Then they were put into that situation, okay, and they should be helped. But if somebody chooses to take their money and spend it on drugs, and now they can't, you know, they chose to take the rent money, the car money, the grocery money, whatever it is, and use it on drugs, then they put themselves in that situation. And you can't help them, because if you do, they're going to do the same thing. They'll take your money and do the same thing with it. They took their money and did it. They'll take yours and do it. And so, you know, you might say, well, I don't want to see you like that, so, yeah, I'll take you in and I'll get you something to eat, but I'll buy it. I'm not giving you the money for it. Or, you know, when I was younger and we had drug addicts in my family, stuff was subject to come up missing anytime. I don't care whether it was the TV or you know, something that was laying around that they could take and nobody could see them take it. And so you might have to keep them at arm's length. No, you can't come here. I love you, but you can't come here. Why? Because you're doing stuff and you're putting yourself in a situation. Now, when they want to get help, when they truly want to get help, then trust me, they will come, and they will come a different way. But you have to be able to discern that. So I always use this sort of rule with how the Most High treats Israel. If Israel did something that caused the Most High to cause them to be scattered, then, you know, he wouldn't help them. He sent them into a bondage because of their bad behavior since our forefathers. But if somebody came and attacked Israel and boasted about it, then the Most High would deliver Israel, because not something that they were doing on their own. They didn't put themselves in that situation. This king did it from this other nation, trying to be, you know, big bad or whatever. Then the Most High would deliver them. But if Israel was doing something that was bad and the Most High judged them and caused it to come on them, then you couldn't help Israel. Israel had to straighten out themselves. And we got to look at our loved ones and our neighbors the same way. Are they doing something that puts themselves in that situation and causing these things to happen to them? And then if, you know, you don't want to take it to a situation of life and death. With life and death, then yeah, you got to help. But some people have to go through some things before they're wanting to be helped. Okay, so we are in Luke chapter 10, verse 29. Let's do verse 28 again first. But he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Yeshua, and who is my neighbor? Because now he wants to justify who he does what with. And Yeshua answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. So this man is a stranger there. He went from Jerusalem to Jericho. He don't live in Jericho. And he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, stripped him of his clothes, and wounded him. They could have stabbed him. In those days, they couldn't have shot him. Well, they could have shot him with an arrow. Could have stabbed him. Could have hit him in the head. Didn't say how. They wounded him and left, leaving him half dead. So this was a bad wound. So they left him, you know, for dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. A saint. Somebody saved. somebody that calls themselves, quote unquote, a Christian, somebody that calls themselves a believer. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Man, you in bad shape, but I ain't helping you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know you. I ain't doing nothing. I don't want to get involved. Pass on the other side. Now, this is a priest of the Most High. We are supposed to be kings and priests, so this is talking about us. Okay? And likewise, a Levite. Now, a Levite is anybody of the family of Levite. They don't necessarily have to be of the priesthood, the high priest family. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So this is somebody that works in the ministry. Because the Levite, the Levitical family, they did the things with the temple. Aaron's family handled the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, those things, the altar. The rest of the Levites, they still did work with the temple, but they wouldn't have been considered a priest. Not in that sense. They might have carried, you know, when it was the day of the tabernacles, or, you know, when they were living in tents, they would pack it. They wouldn't pack it up, but Aaron and his family would pack it up, and another family would carry it. Somebody else would break down the tabernacle and carry it. Okay. So this is somebody associated with the priesthood. They do the same thing that the priest did. Ain't got time. Don't know what you're going through or how you got that way. But I ain't got time to help you. But a certain Samaritan. Now the Samaritan, the Jews or those that lived in Judah, didn't deal with those that lived in the northern kingdom. Because those that lived in the northern kingdom, even though they were still Israel, a lot of them, some of them were not, okay? And so we've gone over this story enough times that we know that the Samaritans were like the Americans. The American, you can't say what color you are, you can't say what race you are, you can't say what religion you are when you say American. You can't say what gender you are. Too general, and this Samaritan is generalized. Remembering that Nebuchadnezzar, notice the king of Assyria, moved a lot of different people into Samaria when he moved our forefathers out. But he didn't get all of our forefathers, and a lot of them were still there, the remnant of them. They were still in Samaria. The woman at the well is an example. He told Messiah, hey, my forefather Jacob, he's claiming to be an Israelite. And we can find that in the scriptures, that those that escaped from the kings of Assyria, they went back into the cities that they ran from out of. And they lived with those people that were transplanted. Because they still wanted to do what they were doing. So this certain Samaritan. Black, white, Puerto Rican, blue, green, yellow, don't matter. This person is not one of them. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, came where he was, the man that had been attacked. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now let's look at the length that this man goes through. And he went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. On his beast. Now, they didn't rob the man. They took his clothes. They wounded him, left him for dead. This Samaritan, who's supposed to be ungodly, stopped and had compassion, where the priest and the person associated with the priesthood didn't stop and show any compassion. So he dresses up his wounds, and he sets him on his own beast, not the man's beast, but his, and brought him to an inn and took care of him, went out of his way. He's journeying. He's going somewhere. Put this journey on hold. Put what he's doing on hold. Take care of this man. Take him to an inn and takes care of him. And on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Now, at this time, 2 pence was enough to do what he's asking his host to do. He says, and if it's not enough, I'll pay you when I come back. And said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spend more, when I come again, I will repay you. So here's 2 pence. Let's say we're going to equal that today. Let's say it's $200. Here's $200. Take care of him, and whatever you spend above that, I'll pay you whatever you spend to take care of this man. I'm coming back. I'm going to check on him. And whatever you spend above that, I'll repay you. Which now of these three thinkest thou was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Because the neighbor ain't got to do with, you know, got to really do with being qualified as somebody living next door to you. This is one, it could be one of another nation. But Samaria was considered to be another nation. Someone of another ethnicity. Which one do you think was the neighbor? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Yeshua unto him, go and do thou likewise. If you, you know, we look at people on the side of the road, and we know a lot of them are flim-flamming. They're panhandling. Some of them have learned how to make a living that way. And what I say to you is, if the Most High puts it on your heart to give, then give. If you don't put it on your heart to give, don't give, because we know how people act. But if he puts it on your heart to give, then you're supposed to do more than just give and say, here, go get a meal. That's not what he's wanting. If somebody is truly out there, let's put ourselves in that position. Let's say that people today don't flim-flam. It's not their nature. It's not their nature to run game and to try to beg for money as a way of life. And put yourself in their position. You are out here begging for money because you are that desperate. You are in a bind. You have nowhere to stay. You have no money to get any food. You are hurting, and this is the truth. This is the truth of the matter. If you were in that condition, and the only thing that you could see yourself doing is going and standing on a corner and begging people, put up a sign, I'm hungry. And you don't see any other way. What would you want people to do for you? How would you want them to treat you? Now, when I was in New York, I would see people on the side of the street sleeping in boxes. I'm talking about on the side of Main Street. The main avenues, they're downtown, sleeping in boxes. I saw people who had the same spot every day, and they dressed better than I did. And they were panhandling, you know, begging people for money. The ones that were there every day doing it, I was like, you know, I think you choose to do this. And you're making a good living at it. But I'm not going to give you my money. the one in the box, whether they're there because it was drugs or whatever the case may be. Because, you know, New York City is super expensive. I mean, when I say expensive, it's expensive. It's hard to eat there. And if you don't know where to go and how to eat, you will spend a whole lot of money eating. Just eating. Most people in New York don't own their own car. They're taking a taxi or public transportation because it's cheaper. But it still costs a lot of money. So you got to say, you know, that life there is completely different than in a small town, in a medium-sized town. So I would always go by, you know, if the Most I put it on my heart to give to someone, and he did, I would give to them. And wouldn't think a second thought about it, you know, what they're going to do with it, you know, nothing like that. Because I felt that they were genuine. They were genuinely down for whatever the reason. Never missed the money. Never worried about, you know, am I going to get it back from this person? Because the Most I said, I will repay you. And he took care of me. So you have to, you know, you should be asking the Most High anyway. Should I do this? But usually, you know, if I'm walking up, I will get that option. Yeah, I'm supposed to give to this person. Or no, I'm not supposed to give to this person. Because there are people that flim-flam. But the Most High says, you know, if I put it on your heart to do it, then do it. And I will repay you. I know people that got, you know, they got it in their heart that I ain't giving to nobody. I don't care what they're going through. How they look, because people run games. But ask the Most High if that's what you should be doing, or should you be playing the Samaritan. If you have the means to put them up, put them someplace, they are, you know, sickly, they are hurt, they are without clothes or without food. Because, see, we'll come by and drop a couple of dollars and feel good. Most of us said, that's not the example I gave you. This man picked this person up, put them in his ride, their ride, took them to jail or whatever. He didn't say it had to be the Ritz-Carlton. It could have been Motel 6. But he paid for the room. He stayed there with them that day, paid for the room, made sure that they were okay, and then said, okay, I'm leaving. Told the hotel staff, here's some money. They're not going to be able to go out and get anything to eat, so here's some money for their food, and here's money, you know, to do whatever. I'll be back in a couple of days. I don't know if the person will still be there or not. But I'll be back in a couple of days, and if you spent more than what I gave you, then I'll give you whatever you spent. That's what he's talking about. Take care of that person. See to their needs more than what just the immediate need. And he says, I will repay you. Because if you were the one that had gotten beat up, your clothes taken from you, you naked on the side of the road, maybe just in your underwear, and people just drive by. Look at that crazy man. Look at that crazy woman. Don't want to get involved. That's what the Most High said. That's what the godly people do. That's what the priest did. That's what the Levite, who supports the priesthood, that's what he did. But this Samaritan, he stopped and went completely out of his way. He said, which one do you think was the neighbor? And so this is what the Most High is looking at. Are we going to be the good Samaritan or are we going to really show genuine love above and beyond? Because you leave and you go, I'm going to put myself in that situation. Let's say I got to New York and my baggage didn't make it, or somebody stole my bag. All my clothes are in there. I didn't have someplace to stay. I'm walking, not knowing, you know, I catch a cab and they let me out someplace. Then somebody robs me, takes my clothes, take my money, and nobody will stop to help. Nobody will give a damn. They all take me for being crazy. How would I feel? What would I do? This is what he's saying in this situation. And in that case, I have no money. Somebody robbed me. They could have left me hurt. And nobody will stop to help. I have no money now, so I have no place to stay. I can't get no food. I'm injured. And the Most High says, look at the situation. Assess the situation and what is really required. If somebody stopped and said, here's $3, get you something to drink, what is that going to do for me? Not a damn thing. Not going to do anything for me. $3 more than what I had, but still, it's not meeting the need. It's not addressing the situation I'm in. And that's what he wants us to do. If you want to be a good neighbor, then you got to care and you got to look at it and say, what is really going on here? How can I really help you? You know, I can't afford to put you in a hotel, so I can bring you to my house. I don't have the money to buy you any clothes, but, you know, there's a Goodwill around here. We can go there. I got enough food to put you up for a few days or whatever. There's always something that can be done above and beyond. And this is what the Most High says, that's the neighbor. That's the good neighbor. Look at the person's situation. Put yourself in their shoes. Say, how would you want somebody to treat you if you were in that situation? Would you want them to just throw something at you and say, hey, I hope you make it through? Or would you hope that they really cared and say, hey, if I was in this situation, this is what I would want somebody to do for me. And I'm able to do it, so I'm going to do it. That's what he's looking at, okay? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Putting yourself, empathizing and putting yourself in their shoes, in their situation. And then meeting the need. Meeting the need. Okay. Go to Matthew, chapter 22. The book of Matthew, chapter 22. And let's get verse 39. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39. And the word of the Most High reads, And the second is likened unto this. Now, we know what the first one says, to love the Most High, which are all. And the second one is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All you got to do is empathize. Put yourself in the person's shoes. And then you have to have discernment as well. Okay. Are they genuinely hurt, in need? And, if, you know, somebody rob you and hurt you and take your clothes, that's not something that you went looking for. That's not something that you did intentionally. It's not something that you did to yourself. In that case, you were taken captive. You were taken into captivity. But when we do it to ourselves, then we get different. Big difference there. Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Now let's before we go there, let's get verse 40 from Matthew 22. Because, see, people misread this next verse. At least I feel they do. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Most High didn't just say, if you know, you just love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And that's all the law. That's what Christianity wants to say. But if you truly love the Most High, then you would keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and his judgments. That's what he says. If you truly love me, you would do all that. And then you would love your neighbor as yourself. But I have laws, statutes, commandments, and ordinances that tell you how to do that. You don't get to make it up on your own and do what you feel. That's what all the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances are about. This is how you do that. This is how you obey me. This is how what I want you to do. This is how you keep my commandments. This is how you love me. That's why I say when he gave us the statutes, his laws, the commandments, and his judgments, the Most High revealed his heart to us. This is my heart on these things. This is how I do it. And this is how I want you to do it. So if you love me, you do them. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love yourself, then treat other people how you love yourself, how you want them to treat you. And this is how you do that. Here are my statutes, my laws, my commandments on how you treat your brother or your sister, your fellow man. You don't get to make that up on your own. This is my standard right here on those two things. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It doesn't do away with them. These are the principles behind all of them. If you sum them up, if you sum up the law, then you can summarize them as these two commandments, because there was really no single commandment like that. Messiah took the intent of the commandments and summarized them. And because now all the other laws, everything, even what the prophets say, hang on these two principles, these two commandments. Not that you take those and say, oh, well, I'll do what I want to do. And I'll love the Most High how I want to love the Most High. And I'll love my neighbor as how I want to love my neighbor. It doesn't work that way. That's what people are doing. Doing what's right in their own eyes. But the Most High says, these two commandments, these two principles, these two instructions, all the other laws fit within these two. All the other laws tell you how to do these two. loving the Most High, which are all, and loving your neighbor as yourself. The laws tell you how to do that. You don't get to take those and then make it up. Okay, just wanted to make sure that we covered that. Because I've heard too many teachers, preachers, organizations teach that's all you got to do, not realizing that the laws tell you how to do that. That's why all the laws hang on these two. They're up under these two. They fit into these categories. You're either loving the Most High, which are all, and doing your all for him, or you're treating your neighbor as you want to be treated. The laws are designed to do that. Serve the Most High with your all and treat your neighbor fairly, how you would want to be treated. So we got to just understand that, okay? They don't replace the law. They don't do away with the law. These are not the only two commandments or two laws that Messiah gave. Because people interpret that way. That's all I got to do. I ain't up under all that other stuff. And I hate to say it, then you are a fool. And you have no understanding that the laws teach you how to do each of those things. The way the Most High wants it done. To Romans chapter 13. The book of Romans chapter 13. And let's start in verse 9. The book of Romans chapter 13. Starting in verse 9. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended, summarized in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But all these laws are about how you treat your fellow man. And he says, and if there's any other one that I didn't say, you can comprehend it, that just love your neighbor as yourself. You don't want to commit adultery and go sleep with someone who belongs to somebody else, who is in a committed relationship, a marriage with somebody else. You don't want to, and that thou shalt not kill is really thou shalt not murder. You don't want to take a life unjustly. Most I never said you couldn't protect yourself. But if you're taking killing somebody or murdering them without a cause, then it's unjust. If you're taking something from someone else, you're stealing it, it don't belong to you. It belongs to someone else. If you bear false witness, you lie on somebody, you say they did something they didn't do, how do you like it when people do that to you? See, these are all laws about how we treat one another. Thou shalt not covet. You got something I want. I covet it enough, I might come and steal it. I might even kill you to get it. All about treating how we treat one another, these laws. Not all of the laws. So he just says, and if there be any other commandment, there are. It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love fulfills the law. If you truly love, if you love unselfishly, if you love from the position of, this is how I would want somebody to treat me. This is how I want somebody to do for me. This is how I would just want them. This is what I would do for someone. Out of genuine love, not for gain, but just because it's the right thing. He said, then you fulfill the law concerning that. Okay? You fulfill the law in loving your brother as yourself. That don't mean you love the Most High. You still got to fulfill that law. But as far as fellow human beings, if you do those things, that if you don't commit those things, you call, you know, you took from your brother and you repaid them what you took. And then, you know, if the scripture says three times what it was worth and you did that, then you fulfill the law. You didn't fulfill all of the law. But anytime the scriptures say something like this, people want it to be absolute and 100%. So when, like when they read in Acts chapter 10 and he's saying, hey, if the Gentiles do these necessary things and fulfill the law of Moses, well, they were talking about circumcision, not all of the law of Moses. People take those things out of context and without understanding. If you want to be saved, do these necessary things and fulfill the law of Moses concerning these necessary things. You, because of all the other laws, you don't even know about. So the scripture said it assumes that you're going to be going to synagogue on each Sabbath and learning. That you're going to be going somewhere and learning the law. And once you learn them, then you're accountable. Before, you were ignorant. But we don't do these things. We want to put on the stranger what we've been living either most of our lives or a part of our lives. Oh, no, you got to be exactly like this. It took me 20 years to learn this, and you need to do it now. The Most High is not that way. He makes place for ignorance. What he don't make place for is willful disobedience. But he makes place for ignorance. So we read these scriptures and we want to put things on people that the Most High did not put on them. If you've been walking in this walk for a minute and you don't know the laws of the Most High, then that's your fault. Because apparently you haven't been seeking him with your whole heart. You haven't been had his laws before you night and day, you know, meditating on them. And if you found something in the law that was contrary to you and you chose to do your own thing, then that's on you. So we got to understand that we have to put things in their proper perspective and treat our neighbors as ourselves. You wouldn't want to be held guilty for something you didn't know about. I didn't even know that was in the book. I didn't know it was written. But you read it and you want to hold them to it. Would you want them to do that to you? Would that be treating your neighbor as yourself? But see, once they're told, whether they accept it or not, they've been told. That's not for you to judge. You told them you did what you were supposed to do. You leave it at that. because it's been recorded. You told them. What they do with it, whether they choose to believe it, reject it, that's on them. Then how would you want them to treat you if you were in that situation? Would you want them to keep pounding it into you? Or would you say, hey, they'll come around, if it's the Most High's will, they'll come around. I did what I was supposed to do, and that's all you can control. It's you. So you tell them. Do unto them how you would have them do unto you. And then if you want people to constantly remind you, to hammer it into you, then if somebody wants that, they'll let you know. And I'll tell you in a heartbeat, for me, I don't care who's right. I just want to know what's right, that I might do it. But, you know, people have to be ready for it. So the law that we read in Romans chapter 13, he didn't mention, that's why he put that little verbiage there. And if there be any other command, don't take this as absolutely all the commands here. These commandments are summarized in loving your neighbor as yourself. Treat people how you would want to be treated. But there's many laws concerning these things, and these are not all of them. But you can summarize the other ones up into this. As you can summarize these laws into that, love your neighbor as yourself. You wouldn't want nobody sleeping with your spouse that y'all hadn't agreed to be in a marriage with. You wouldn't want somebody taking something from you or just coming in your house and killing you or always wanting what you have. You get something new, they want it. So how would you want to be treated? That's what he's saying there. And if there's anything else I didn't mention, it's there. Just put it under here. And do it. Don't disregard it. Do it. The same way with the Most High. That's why I said with Geno Jennings, when he reads the commandments that Messiah, that he read off to the young man and said, what must I do to be saved? What more must I do? And Messiah listed these things. Never mentioned one about not serving any other gods, not having any other image of any other gods. Didn't mention the Sabbath or anything. So he said, oh, that's all we got to do. We don't got to keep Sabbath, because he didn't say it right there. But he didn't say these other things either, because it's understood. But when people don't want to do something, they find a way to justify it. The Most High never got rid of his commandments. He modified some. So we got to understand that. Okay. Go to Galatians chapter 5. If you truly, truly do it, then you will fulfill the law. And when it's in all the law, talking about all the law concerning this. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. And let's get verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled. When it's talking about all is not talking about all the law of that, you know, that the Most High has written. It's concerning your neighbor, the laws concerning that. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Talking about all the laws about brotherly love. You can't love your neighbor as yourself, or you can love your neighbor as yourself and then not, and still not obey the Most High. Then have you fulfilled all the law? No. You fulfill all the law concerning that. So when people read in a vacuum, that's what they do. It says all the law. No. Concerns all the law concerning this topic. You love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill all the laws of brotherly love. Loving your neighbor as yourself. What about the laws to love the Most High with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, with everything that you are? You may not be doing those things. So we take these verses, as I said, and we make them an absolute when they are not an absolute. We are reading without understanding. And we are reading without context. The Most High wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He wants us to love the stranger. Would you want people doing bogus stuff to you, taking advantage of you? If you moved to a country and you said, you know what, I want to become a citizen of this country, would you want them to treat you like a second or a third class citizen? Or would you want them to treat you as one in the land, born in the land? Context. In the spirit of. James chapter 2. And this is our last verse. James chapter 2. And let's get verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. If you shall, let's see. If you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of person, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as pressed, as transgressor, fill the law. It's talking about that there's a royal law of love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a law. And it's a high-ranking law. It actually is an overview of all the other laws, the ordinances and the statutes and the commandments and the judgments that tell you how to do that. Just a summary. This is the royal law. You can sum it up this way. But people try to take that and put their own definition to it. We've been given the definitions. All we got to do is go back into Torah. This is what that means. Now, in the spirit of that, if it wasn't a goat somebody took and they took your scooter, apply the same law to your scooter. In the spirit of that law. Well, it don't say nothing about a scooter. Yeah, but it does talk about somebody taking something of yours and doing, they damaged it, they sold it, they did whatever. The law deals with that. Apply it. Don't make up your own thing. You don't have to. That's why he said the letter of the law killeth. But we don't have pigs and goats today, and we don't have cattle and these things. Okay, but what was the intent of the law? What was it really covering? Does this situation fit into that? Change the cow to a bite. Change it into whatever. Change the dog that bites into the ox that pushes. What was the spirit and the intent of the law? So we got to understand that we have to put it in the context with which the Most High intended. And then that would be the spirit of the law. Not that the law is done away with, but if that particular infraction falls under this law. So we have to do those things. How we treat our brother and our sister fall up under the royal law. And if we do those things, then we fulfill those laws. All of those laws. If we love our neighbor as ourselves, then you have fulfilled all the law concerning that. Not all the laws concerning everything else. To understand when it says those things, that we got to understand them within context. With that being said, all of these laws, they encapsulate the biblical principle of loving others as we do ourselves. And the Most High says, how can you say you love me whom you cannot see and hate your brother whom you can see? You can't say you love me and you can't see me. You can't do nothing for me. Say you love me. The one you can see, you treat them like crap. So how do you say you love me then? You won't go out of your way. If you see somebody truly in need, you won't go out of your way to help them and to put them up and to take care of them. You won't really fulfill that person's need. Oh, I see you without clothes, and I see you, somebody hurt you. I'll drop you at the emergency room, but that's it. I'm out. Most of us say, that's not what I call you to. Make sure that they're taken care of. That way you show true love, true brotherly love. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Always put yourself in the other person's shoes. And he says you can fulfill the law of love. With that being said, shalom, and see you guys in the morning. I don't know what the topic of the precepts is going to be. But love yourself, your neighbor as yourself, and love the stranger. Those are the requirements of the Most High. Shalom.
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
All right. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God Almighty.
All right. Amen, Brother Gary.
Yes.
Amen. All right. Peace and blessings to you all.